Well, for those of you who've been here, we know we've been on our series, Heroes of Our Faith. And we've come to Rahab this morning. Now, there's a lot more about her in Joshua, which I will be going into this morning. But the passage here and what we're looking at is, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Now, you think, well, what's the big deal? Why is she in the Hall of Fame of Faith? And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is why is she there? And there's a good thing about our faith. We have a good old hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Rahab in the Old Testament could have been a singer of that song because it was God's amazing grace to her. As you read in Joshua, and I'm going to read there in just a little bit, but you will find that Rahab noticed some things that were going on around her. She had some spiritual sensitivity. And boy, this morning, we had better take note of this. We need spiritual sensitivity to the things going on around us. The children of Israel had made it through Egypt, and the reputation of what had gone on with them was being spread, and now they were coming into a land, and as we're going to read here, she recognized what God was doing in and through them, and she turned to a faith in the God of Israel. She believed that this God was going to do what he promised to do. And she even stated that fear of them had come upon that whole city of Jericho. Not just that whole city of Jericho, but that whole area. Because God was at work in their midst. And may we have that kind of sensitivity. But Rahab, who is she? The word Ra was the name of an Egyptian god, and she was an Amorite, and Rahab belonged to an idolatrous people and had a name meaning insolence and fierceness. So these people were obviously a pretty rough neighborhood, kind of like some of the neighborhoods around our big cities. Right now, we could say that this is some rough turf. And yet, the fear of God was coming upon these people. And Rahab's parents, brothers, and sisters were alive at the time of her association with the spies that Joshua had sent out, but were not given any of their names. So let's go back to the book of Joshua here and find out what in the world is this all about. Here this morning. So Joshua chapter 2, if you want to follow along, I'm going to read here because it kind of gives us the background of what we're looking at. So it says, then Joshua, son of Nun, and we looked at Joshua last week. You talk about a relevant message about not being discouraged, to not be afraid. We talked about those two big emotions being just dominating the American landscape right now and how we need to have faith in God. Turn to him, and as we do, we're not going to grumble and complain like the children of Israel were doing, and Joshua and Caleb had to deal with it. They had a different spirit, and now we're seeing Joshua and Caleb acting upon this call that they had on their life, just like you and I. So they sent two spies to Shittim. Go and look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Now, you wouldn't think. It's like, boy, that wasn't exactly the best place to go, because guess what? People don't think anything of guys going into Rahab's house because that was her profession, so no big deal. However, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. In other words, They know that they were up to something and then it was no good for them. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me. She didn't deny it. But I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God, is heaven above and on the earth below. Wow, right there you're seeing it. She's recognizing the God of the Israelites is the God in heaven and the God of earth below. It's like something was taking place in her heart. And that's what we're praying for people around our country to have, because there's a lot of Rahabs around us. And many times the church, sad to say, looks at them and like, oh, that's why it's so great to see what's going on in the outreach with the Women's House of New Reflections reaching, and not necessarily that they're prostitutes, but coming out of drug and alcohol addiction, big time sin, and we're really working now. The council gave the preliminary approval. Now we have to go before the city council on using the parsonage next to the Main Street campus there as a house for the men so that they too will have a place. And we have lots of support. I know the sheriff and the chief of police are very supportive, and we have lots of people in town that are, but we'll have to see what the city council says here, and we have to get everything all worked out and okayed. And just so everyone knows that there will not be any sex offenders in this building if we do get this all approved, because the council just gave initial approval, and we have to get all our ducks in a row. And so Mike is the executive director, and we have a board made up of people from numerous churches, and we're all working together in that to that. So we see God at work in our midst so that we can reach out to people who are in a situation like Rahab. And this is the thing. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men answered her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. And then the guys went out and they followed her direction. She said, now you go into the hill country. They're out looking on the roads for them. You go into the hill country and you wait 3 days until this passes. And the men went out, they listened to her, and they made this agreement. And Rahab's faith shines out in this account. I already mentioned her spiritual sensitivity, also her obedience, her living out. She didn't even realize who she was responding to, other than that this God that the Israelites said they were representing was powerfully working in those people, the Israelites. May people recognize in us that God is working in us as well, that we do stand out from the world around us, that we don't just follow in lockstep with all of society and all the things that are going on, the roads that they are walking, which are not good roads. The Apostle James says this about Rahab. In the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So Rahab is an example of someone who comes to faith and not just professes it, but actually lives it out, does it. A prostitute from an idolatrous culture. Now, we look at our culture and we think, well, we're supposed to be a Christian culture. But you know what was a common part of idolatrous cultures in the Old Testament was child sacrifice. That was a huge part of their religious worship, sacrificing their children to these gods that were not gods. And you know, look in America, we say, well, we don't do that. And I was like, well, we do in a different form. It's called abortion. I tell you, it's sad. It is sad. And we need to see that we need to pray for our country. The blood of those 62 million, over 62 million children is crying out from the ground, just like it says in Scripture about the blood, innocent blood being shed. And what amazes me is there's a group called Black Lives Matter. And I believe Black Lives Matter. I believe Red Lives Matter. Yellow Lives Matter. And yes, White Lives Matter. All lives matter. And I'm not prejudiced. I'm not racial. I'm not hateful. All lives matter to God. In fact, the little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, we just see those things. And red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in His sight. But you know what? And I'm going to refer to them as BLM. BLM Incorporated. Do you know that they are actually a Marxist group? And this is on their website. They don't hide it. They're for Marxism. The things that they are doing in our major cities is right out of the playbook of what the communists in China did when they took over their country. So I'm telling you, we had better wake up to what's going on here. And not only that, they are supportive of Planned Parenthood, which is killing. And guess what? Over 40% of the abortions, in fact, I've heard it's around 43%, are of black people. So if BLM really cared about black lives, they should be standing against abortion instead of siding with them. And it's like we see this alliance of evil coming together, and we need to recognize it as such. And we need to pray for these people. We need to stand up and be heard. I love what Pastor Tim has got on that. I don't know if you go by Northern Lights Christian Center on B there. We're in the Ministerial Association together. He said the silent majority is no longer going to remain silent. And we shouldn't have been silent to begin with. But we need to stand up and let your faith be heard, and that you're not ashamed of the gospel. You're not ashamed of Jesus. That we represent Him to this world. We represent Him to America. And we need to stand up for what is right, and to stand up for our police women and men, to stand up for the men and women in our military, and all these situations that we're seeing where mockery, and to stand up. I have no problem standing and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. We have meetings at the courthouse that I'm involved with, and we stand and say it. And that's a good thing. And it is sad to me that politics have gotten into sports to the point that it has. And this stuff, and it's just like, dear God, do we realize the freedoms that this country has are, once we lose them again, it is next to impossible to get them back. And so we'd better realize how serious the situation is with us in America here today. And we need to look at Rahab here. She recognized the seriousness of the situation she was in, and she turned to the God of Israel. She responded. She responded to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God that you and I serve. And Isaiah, I love this. I am the Lord. This is what he proclaimed loud and clear about what God was saying to the people of Israel. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its going down, that they know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. And I'm telling you, in America, we are seeing everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And we need to know that God is at work to bring us around, to realize. Now, one of the things that you will notice here in Joshua, now, how many of you know this story fairly well? Yeah. The big thing here is the scarlet rope that she let down from the window. I'm going to read here just a little on in Joshua 2. The men said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land," and the oath they're talking about here is the oath that her and whoever's in her household was going to be saved, that they would not destroy them, "unless you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she said. All right, so this scarlet rope, what is the big deal about that? Where else do we see something scarlet earlier in Israel's history that the death angel passed over, the Passover? What was that about? The blood, that's right. And that's what we see being emphasized here. The blood was placed on the doorposts in Egypt. When the death angel came, he would pass over, and there had to be obedience, and there had to be people in that house. We see Rahab basically taking the same pledge there, and the scarlet cord we see throughout the Old Testament representing the blood. Without the shedding of blood, the writer of Hebrews said there was no forgiveness of sin. And we see this all in Egypt, here with Rahab, foreshadowing what Jesus was going to do on that cross, shedding his blood for our redemption, to take us back from the enemy, to protect us as Rahab was saved from the destruction of her people because she responded in faith. We are going to be saved from all the garbage that comes. And that doesn't mean that we don't have to go through it. Rahab saw all these things. She was a part of witnessing the events that took place in Jericho, but her life was spared. And guess what happened with her life? Now, one of the interesting things here is that in Matthew, we read, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. What? This is the genealogy of Jesus. Guess what? This prostitute from a foreign country became a part of the lineage of Christ. It's like, are you serious? It's like, yes. Pretty amazing. And it says, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. Another one, Tamar and Bathsheba are also other ones that are a part of the lineage of Christ that are foreign women. In other words, throughout Scripture, No matter what tribe, language, or nation, as people responded to the God who created the heavens and the earth, they were engrafted into the vine, just like you and I are, and just like anybody from any tribe, language, and nation in the world today. As we respond in faith, as Rahab did here, as all these people have throughout history, that they become engrafted into the body of Christ, the servants of the living God representing the Lord to our generation. And it goes on, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, and we know that that was Bathsheba. And do we see sin all through all this? Yeah. Guess what? We're all sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. But you know what Rahab stands out as Paul referred to himself as the chief of sinners. I don't care this morning. Maybe you're here and say, man, I've screwed up so many times in my life, I don't know if God can use me. Well, I'm here to assure you he can and will use you as you place your faith in Jesus. He wants to use us all. And who knows what God is going to do in and through us. I keep saying this. You're probably sick of hearing me say it. We have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this, right out of Esther. We talked a lot about that week. We need to realize that you and I are here today, not by chance, not by circumstance, but by design. And God wants to use us. And last week we talked about Moses, or a couple weeks ago, Moses was 80 when he first. Don't think you're too old, and don't think you're too young. God wants to use us all to represent him to the world around us. But the Salmon was one of the two spies that Rahab had sheltered. Now, we didn't know that, but he was. Salmon was a prince of the house of Judah, and as the gratitude Salmon felt for Rahab ripened into love, he married the former prostitute, and in God's plan, she became a part of the human ancestry of Christ. And thank God for that. God bringing people. I don't care how bad. This is the thing. In fact, preparing for this week, I started thinking of all the people that I think are really messed up. Myself being one of them. All of us. And that's the whole thing. I just mentioned Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Don't ever start thinking, wow, I'm not like Rahab. In fact, I gave Brenda kind of a jab yesterday. I don't know why it's so fun to pick on Brenda. I always do, but she was saying, oh, this Rahab stuff. I don't know if Michelle even heard me. We were standing there after the funeral talking for Everett May yesterday, and she says, well, man, of all the subjects you give me to preach on was Rahab. And I said, yeah. I said, that was your coworker. And she was like, oh, you know. That was kind of a low blow. But the whole point of it is that all of us, I am just like Rahab. That's what I'm saying. I may not have done, but my sin is just as bad as any other sin. And what Christians are good at and what we need to turn away from is comparing ourselves. Well, at least I didn't do what they did. That's terrible. It's like, no. Because Scripture also says, for the wages of sin is death. I don't care what sin it is. If it's just a little lie or a little cheating or a little whatever, gossip, slander, all those things are things that can keep us out of heaven. And if God kept a record of sins, as the psalmist said, oh Lord, who could stand? But thank God, there is forgiveness. Rahab experienced that forgiveness. I've experienced that forgiveness. And I pray everyone here this morning has experienced that forgiveness. That is what God wants us. That is the good news that we take out to the world. Our message is not a message of condemnation. It's a message of freedom, of liberty. These guys and these women that we're trying to reach, they're coming out. We had baptism last week. Two of these ladies from New Reflections got baptized. A third one came to faith last week up at Drummond at Brian Cole's church. And we all know about Brian Cole, all the junk he came out of. He was a Satanist. A Satanist that brought satanic Bibles into the prison system of Wisconsin because of his suing and all the things to get so he had equal rights with the Christian Bible. Well, he's the one that did it. And guess what God did? He saved his soul in prison. And now, just like Paul, who was out killing Christians, he's preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And he has a powerful testimony. And people coming out of drug addictions, which Brian came out of, and alcohol, and all the junk that's out there, all the sin that's out there. And many of us are saying, oh, I don't even want to talk about it. It's like, guess what? God wants to talk about it because he wants us to reach those people. He wants us to love those people. And Brian responded to that. And I don't know if everyone knows that Mike, Pastor Mike, our pastor of discipleship, was the pastor that discipled him and had to work with him. And as he said, when he first started preaching, he wasn't much of a preacher. But you know what? Michelle and I, in our sabbatical, we went up there and we heard Brian. And he's a powerful preacher. And it's so neat to see us. God has brought, just in this little area of Hayward, we're all working together. And last week, one of the girls went to that service. And when it came time, he said, if you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward. And she, Kai, and she would not be ashamed of us mentioning her because she's been there, since like December, I think? Yeah, and she's from a Jewish background. And she was having a real hard time with Jesus, but you know what? We don't shove Jesus down anybody's throat. And that's the other thing Christians are good at, shoving Jesus down people's throats. You don't. You let people make decisions. You pray for them. You live it out in front of them. And she saw that. And she responded last week and surrendered her heart. And now she wants to get baptized. And it's just exciting to see. And I share that this morning to encourage you. With all the garbage going on, we need to realize God is at work. God is in the business of saving people's lives. So I pray for the communists involved in Black Lives Matter. In fact, most of the people wouldn't even think that that's what they're doing, but they can read their own writing. So we need to pray for these people who are down destroying cities and the church. In fact, Ian is right down there in Minneapolis from our church down there. He's right down there in the center of things. And we need to realize God wants to use you and I, just like he's using all these people and all the people of the past, and God wants to work in and through us. So what can we learn from Rahab? I want to close with these two things, and you're thinking, are you ever going to finish here? And it's like, God can use the biggest of sinners. As Rahab in faith responded to God's purpose and plan for her life, she was transformed. As the old hymn puts it, his blood can make the vilest clean, and that blood avails for me. And it is. I said the Amazing Grace hymn already, but it is. She was forgiven, and she will enter heaven ahead of the self-righteous religious people. That is for sure, and that's what Scripture says. Rahab's sins were scarlet, and that scarlet rope freeing the spies and remaining as a symbol of safety looks forward to the red blood of Jesus, who has come into the world to save the worst of sinners, and that includes you and me. And that blood, that scarlet thread, is here today calling to us. And I say this morning, if you've never surrendered with your whole heart, come on forward and we'll gather around and pray for you and just say, Lord, come into my heart and change me. And that's the beginning. And secondly, we see Rahab's character shining out, as that passage in Joshua brought out, her concern for her family to be spared. It wasn't just trying to save her own skin. She said, what about my mother, my father, my brothers and sisters and their family? And that's an indication for us. We need to cry out for our families, our friends, our co-workers. Anyone we know, they need to be on our prayer list, and we need to be praying for them, beseeching heaven, because Rahab was concerned, and guess what? Were they spared? Oh yeah, Joshua 6 brings out all of them were, the whole family. Everyone listened. Everyone was obedient. They responded, and they were saved, and that's the indication for us when we get called from this life, and we're if we're alive and remain till the coming of the Lord, we're going to be one with that whole group of Old Testament saints, of apostles, all the people since Jesus, everyone. We're going to be a part of that group in Revelation that is going to be shouting, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And as Daniel saw, his kingdom will have no end." We see kingdoms rise and fall in this world, but the kingdom we're a part of will have no end. But we're also warned it's a battle, and we're in that battle. So let's fight the good fight. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, if there is anybody here, in fact, maybe they don't want to come forward. Maybe they just want to raise their hand and say, pray for me, that I want to surrender my heart and life to Jesus, if they've never done that before. Okay. All right. And Lord, I see the hand here. And Lord, is there any more? Any more? Lord, we do. We just come before you, and you know who raised your hand here this morning. And I want you to just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you that you shed your blood for me. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me clean. I surrender my heart and life to you. I ask your Holy Spirit to come and fill me with your love and your presence. I give myself to you as your child. Thank you for your great love towards me. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And then, Lord, for all of us who profess faith in Christ, Lord, and maybe some of us have just been religious, have just gone through the motions. Lord, we want to turn from that. We don't want to just go through the motions. We want to live out our faith. So, Lord, I pray you light a fire in us, a fire that cannot be extinguished by all the edicts, all the things going on in our land. But, Lord, that you will powerfully, powerfully use us. And, Lord, that you'll encourage us. We looked at last week, fear and discouragement being two of Satan's chief attacks on your people. We pray that we will not have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and that we will not be discouraged, that we will not allow the enemy to depress us and to beat us over the head, but that we will stand upon the promises of God, that we will stand upon the truths given us in your word. And Lord, I do. I pray that you will place in our hearts this morning a burning desire to read your word each and every day, to not turn from the right or to the left, but to walk in your paths, O Lord. Help us, and help us to rise to the occasion. May the church across America and the world rise to the occasion, recognizing the time in which we are living. Help us, Lord. Give us your strength. And I ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's wonderful people say together, amen. Amen.